All right, here we go. One side of the coin. We did USC yesterday. Let's do UCLA today. UCLA or Alabama on Sunday? John, call it in the air.
UCLA pulls off the upset and then beats Michigan to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, there you go, John. You win it.
All right. Mace, I will defer. No advantage comes with that.
Okay. So what do I want to start here? Let's start with this. Yesterday, there was a Southwest Airlines pilot who had an open mic rant about the San Francisco Bay Area. Did you see this?
No. Okay. But I love open mic rants.
Okay, so the mic was actually open, and the control tower could hear this whole thing. And this is what he said. I'm going to do my best to edit out the swear words.
Okay.
He's flying over San Francisco. F this place. GD liberal Fs, pilot said during his rant. Effing weirdos probably driving around in effing Hyundais, effing roads and blank that go as slow as blank. You don't have balls unless you're effing rolling coal, man. GD it.
Oh,
that's what he
boy.
Said. That was part of the rant.
By the way, I take exception to his Hyundai comment.
I love
Hyundais. Why did he pick on Hyundai?
Did he
meant to say Tesla or like some electric car or something? I don't know. Go ahead.
Here's the question, John. So the passengers didn't hear this. Only people in the control tower did. Would you want to be on a plane knowing that the pilot is this angry about something?
Is the pilot a good pilot? Is his safety record spotless?
His safety record is spotless. He's been reprimanded by Southwest Airlines.
Well, yeah, I wonder if he'll survive this. But the only thing I care about with a airline pilot is that he's ridiculously good at his job. Same thing with a surgeon. A surgeon can be the world's biggest a-hole.
Yeah, surgeons
are
jerks.
But if he's really, really good at his job, he can operate on me.
As long as Denzel Washington ain't flying, that's fine.
Like, you're talking about in flight?
Oh, my goodness. Flight. That guy. Oh,
but
my
by the way, Michael.
But he was good, though.
That pilot, in that case, was drunk, and he saved the plane from going down.
Man, that was crazy.
So,
but then there's Sully, who found a way to save that plane on the Hudson. Like, Without being drunk.
So, Mace, in a perfect world, would I mind being on a plane knowing that an angry guy's flying it? As long as he's a good pilot, I'm okay with it. How about you?
And my pilot's angry, he's pissed off, I don't want to be on that flight.
As long as he's not angry at life, because you saw what happened to that German pilot, what he did.
No.
What did he do?
Don't you guys know that a few years ago he committed mass suicide because he was upset with life?
He crashed the plane
into the mountain. Yeah, you guys never heard of that?
No.
Wings flight.
Oh, yeah. No.
You remember what happened was the captain went to the restroom, and when the captain went to the restroom, he locked the cockpit door and didn't allow the captain to come back in, and he decided to kill himself and everybody on board.
Tragedy.
I know.
What
it was just a horrible story. You guys must have heard that.
No, I'll look it up.
It made world news.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, German Wings flight. It was crazy.
Okay. By the way, the Fast Track is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. John, it's to you.
All right, Michael, jump in on this one, too. There is a debate going on right now about the Heisman Trophy winner, Alabama wide receiver Devonta Smith. He's projected to be a top five pick in the NFL draft, but he told scouts the other day that he weighs 170 pounds.
Yeah.
According to Stephen Ruiz from USA Today, since the turn of the century, only one receiver weighing less than 180 pounds was drafted in the first round. That was Ted Ginn back in 2007. DeSean Jackson has probably been the most successful guy under 180, but he's extremely rare. Would you guys hesitate to draft Devonta Smith because of his size? Mace, you first.
God, I love the guy. I mean, I have just watched him.
Yeah, he runs routes that are unbelievable.
Dominate games. I would jump at Devonta Smith, a bit of a unicorn since he weighs 170. That doesn't mean he'll play at 170. It means he may pack on some weight for it. But yeah, I would not hesitate on Devonta Smith.
Michael, would you take him?
Any scout who refuses to or holds out against Devonta or refuses to draft him is an idiot and needs to find another line of work. He is special.
But wait a minute, Michael. There's this guy's not making this up. There's been one wide receiver in the last 20 years who weighs under 180 that's done it, and he wasn't that great. Ted Ginn.
This guy played in the second best football that's played in the world in the SEC against other pro players who are going to be drafted number one on defense, and he was killing them.
And
so why can't he do that in the NFL?
Okay, well, let me just give you guys some comps.
Please.
Desmond Howard won the Heisman Trophy.
He
got into the NFL, was okay.
Yeah.
Not great.
Desmond ain't
Rocket
good as this
Ismail,
guy.
Remember everybody wanted to throw the moon at Rocket Ismail?
They ain't good as him.
Yeah, he wasn't big enough.
He ain't
Michael, you know this. Size matters in the NFL.
Listen, man, take talent. Who cares about size? Haven't we passed up on enough?
John,
for instance, Ireland. You know why Russell Wilson didn't go in the first round? His size.
Yeah, they said he was too short.
Same thing for Drew Brees. His size. Just look at talent and skill, Ireland. That's what you look at.
Yeah, there are always exceptions to these rules. And by the way, this is a perfect question for Michael because he never believes in the measurables. He believes in what he sees on the field in action.
Right. But Michael's interesting because Michael would have
500. Michael.
Yeah, Michael would have drafted Tim Tebow with the number one pick in the draft.
It's true.
Not the number one pick, but he definitely was worth a shot, and he did pretty well when he got given a chance, didn't he?
To your credit, Michael, you would have taken Lamar Jackson much higher than he went.
Oh, he would have gone number one for me. He should be in Cleveland, not in Baltimore.
You tend to hit about half of these.
Just believe what your eyes are seeing when you watch Devontae Smith, all right? He's the real deal.
Michael, you were right about Christian McCaffrey. We argued about him for a long time.
No question.
You know what held him back? He went high, but you know why he wasn't higher?
Because he was white?
Exactly.
He's white.
Exactly.
Whiteness.
Reverse racism.
Mace, it's to you.
All right. Brett Favre has done a wide-ranging interview with Dr. Phil about his addiction to painkillers. Here's a little bit of what he said.
When I first realized that I liked the pain pill was after that Philadelphia game in 94. And it wasn't... The next time I got injured, for example, may have been 3 weeks later and I sprained my ankle. I don't know if it was sprained enough to warrant getting pain pills, but I remembered the effect that I had.
Right.
And I liked it. And I thought, what the heck? You know, why not? So that happened two or three times during the course of that season to a point where, like Dr. Phil said, then I was taking two every day. And I could get away with getting two a day because it was two. And maybe the third day I would ask another player to get two pills. So I just didn't ask the same person. And you start learning to manipulate the system and you become very good at it. And to a point where I was basically taking in 2 days a month. Prescription, which is crazy.
A month's prescription every 2 days.
Ooh, man.
So how do you feel about Favre laying this story out in such detailed terms? And have you ever been addicted to anything?
No, but opioid addiction in this country is a huge problem. I had a friend of mine that... recently passed away way too young because he got hooked on them and couldn't get off. And what happens is you'll go on these pills for a legitimate reason, like you'll need them. And then all of a sudden you'll get used to how they make you feel and you can't get off of them. And when that happens... like he said, you know, manipulate the system.
Yeah.
You start getting different friends of yours
shopping,
to help you out.
You get prescriptions from two different doctors.
Right, right. And so there, you know, if you want these pills bad enough, you can find a way to get them. So I don't have a problem with Brett Favre laying this story out there because I think it moves the conversation forward. But it's not just it's not just athletes, Mace. It's everyday people that, you know, like there have been people that go in for cancer surgery and, you know, come out of it and they need pain pills and then they get hooked on the pain pills and they can't get off them.
I'll tell you what, I think what Brett Favre did is pretty brave. I mean, that is an extensive interview where he details, and it's probably 15 minutes on this subject, where he details all of the issues that led up to him going into rehab and then faking his way out of rehab and then going back to rehab. I mean, it's a real-life story. Brett Favre comes across as a guy, who happened to be a quarterback, who got hung up on what so many other people are hung up on. And I will tell you this. I did get addicted once to Xanax when I was living in New York. And I was taking way too much of it. And it took me about 6 months to totally cut it out of the picture. But it was very, very difficult. So I understand this issue of addiction really well. And I think what Brett Favre did was pretty brave.
I agree with you. Okay, it's to me, right?
Yeah, it's to you.
Okay. Madison Square Garden is allowing limited fans.
Yes.
So one of those fans is a guy who calls himself DJ Ness. He wore a shirt to a Knicks game last week that said Ban Dolan. James Dolan is
yes.
the owner of the Knicks, and a lot of Knicks fans don't like him. So a security guard told DJ Ness very politely that they don't allow any offensive signs or clothing and that he couldn't wear the shirt inside. Here's what I was going to play it, but it was too hard to hear.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll just repeat what the security guard said. And he said it in a very nice way. He said, hey, in this arena, we would consider that offensive information. So we're asking you kindly if you would like to cover it up, and we'll offer you a free shirt to do so. When DJ Ness argued that it was his free speech right to wear the shirt, the security guard, again, very calmly said, it is within your rights, but not in this arena, because this arena is private. It's owned by an individual.
Oh,
we get
God.
To stipulate here. We're not the government. This is not a free speech situation. We get to determine what is offensive. We don't allow offensive signs. We don't allow offensive material. And in our eyes, your shirt would be considered offensive. DJ Ness refused to cover up his shirt, so he left. Now, he recorded all of this on social media, so it may have been a stunt. But did the security guard do anything wrong here?
Well, I mean, let's face it. This is all coming from Jim Dolan.
Correct.
Who is just a ridiculous boob.
Yeah, but you can't blame him on this, Mace.
No, of course you can't. I mean, I've seen no. NFL games where guys wear bags over their heads.
That's fine, but that's for the team. They're not attacking the owner personally.
Wait a minute.
It's a private
Fire
business.
Dolan is enough to get you
yeah,
out.
It's a private. It's his business. It's that's
like
his Mace, business.
Like back when you were owning your theaters,
yeah.
if somebody would have walked into the theater and was hanging out in the lobby with the shirt that said "Mason is a slumlord," okay,
right.
or whatever, something just totally offensive to you.
Yes.
Regardless that it would be completely false. I think you would have the right to ask him to cover that up. And if you offered to give him a free shirt to do it, I would be on your side.
Did he buy a ticket?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have
to. Did he buy concessions?
They have a right to kick you out of the Staples Center.
No, they do have the right. I just think this is a ridiculous one. I mean, you got to have thicker skin than this if you're the owner of the
maybe.
New York
but,
Knicks.
But wait, doesn't everybody know that Dolan doesn't have thick skin when it comes to this
We're finding that over and over again. He kicks everybody out of the building.
Right, right.
Spike Lee gone. Who was the other?
Charles
Oakley gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got no respect for the history of the Knicks, and he doesn't have any respect for his fans, who are completely free to express their unhappiness with Jim
okay,
Dolan and
but
the
wait
way
a minute.
The
Mace,
operation's
if,
going.
Would you feel differently if the shirt said, who's the best player in the Knicks? Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Trade Randle. Or if the shirt said, fire Thibodeau. Would that be okay?
Yeah, it's totally okay. It's
but,
freedom of expression.
But again, it's a private business.
I know, but I would practice freedom of expression at my private business.
Yeah, but if you feel like your customer is insulting you and you don't like it, you have a right to kick them out.
Yeah, I disagree.
I actually think this is a tough
By the way,
one.
I think
not for
it,
me. If I'm known,
it turned
I'd kick
into
you
a total you-know-what storm for Jim Dolan. And who comes out of this looking worse? Dolan comes out of it looking worse.
Right.
Well,
but
who likes being insulted?
Yeah,
publicly, Mace.
You have to
but
say
now,
this, Mace, you have to say this about Dolan. He's consistent.
Yeah, this guy made it public because he was getting kicked out. It never would have become public had he not had they
oh,
just
somebody
let him
would
go.
Somebody would have taken pictures of it. He probably would have tweeted it out, the guy himself.
All right. There you have your fast track for today. And coming up, I think Dan Wyke's coming up next,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he's going to join us next.
Dan Wyke from the LA Times. Michael Thompson's hanging out. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
News, Mace.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Breaking news. By the way, breaking news on 710 ESPN is powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons. Breaking news, John.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have just released a statement. They have reached a buyout agreement with Andre Drummond and requested waivers on the Veterans Center. Kobe Altman, the GM of the Cavs, says, "I want to thank Andre for his contributions to our team, both on and off the court, and for his professionalism and mutual cooperation." And then he goes on to say a bunch of other nice things about Drummond. But the bottom line is, Drummond is now in the waiver portal. So any team can claim him.
You know what happens next?
Well, Michael, no one will, right, because of his contract?
Yeah, no, he got a buyout. No, actually, since they bought him out, you can sign him for the vet minimum. You don't have to give, you don't have to give him the same
money. There's one guy that knows the answer exactly when Andre Drummond gets to the Lakers, and that is Dan Wyke from the L.A. Times. Dan, thanks for coming on and providing this key information for us.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah, no, I've been saving it just for you. I promise.
Now, Dan, do
I... I wasn't going to tweet it. I was going to do it just for you.
Hey, now, Dan, let me ask you something. Here's what should happen for Andre Drummond. He needs to go to the Cleveland airport, and when he gets to the private terminal, on one to those two...
Michael,
left,
the Cavs are here.
But he's not here. He's probably back home.
I think he's probably not traveling with him.
If he's back there,
I think he's been here for like a couple of weeks.
He's been in L.A.
been here for a few weeks working out.
Oh, he's been in L.A.?
I think so.
Okay, so what needs to do is wherever he's living, there needs to be one limousine on the left that has BK on it and one limousine on the right that says L.A. on it. And he needs to figure out which limo he wants to jump in.
Well, wait a minute, Dan. Before you say anything about that, does he have to clear waivers first, do you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so even though he's been bought out, like, at least in a cap sense, right? Like, he's still worth $27 million. But it's a formality. I don't think no one has the space to claim him. So he will be a free agent. And then at that point, he can sign for any amount of money, which is where, provided, teams have the room. So this is where it gets interesting, right, when we start talking about the option for Andre Drummond. Michael mentioned Brooklyn, and obviously the Lakers are an option. People have said the Clippers. The Knicks are a really interesting team because all these other teams are going to be playing with, minimum contracts that are prorated over what, like 20 games. The Knicks can actually sign them to a multi-year contract.
Yeah, you can get that in the summer.
They have cap space.
You can get that in the summer after he gets his ring.
So that's the thing, Michael, right? Is like if I'm Rob Pelinka or if I'm LeBron James or whoever's making this pitch, right? Probably some combination of the two. I think the things that I would pitch is obviously it's not about money, but you're going to get two out of the three things that I think that Andre Drummond should be looking for right now. One, he should be looking for money because who isn't? Two, he should be looking for a place to showcase his game, an opportunity. And having watched the Lakers play without Anthony Davis and LeBron James now for, a week or so, there's an opportunity available for someone willing to come shoot. Like, if you can score the basket... If you can score the ball in the basket, you're going to get touches right now. There's a big opportunity.
Hey, I present...
Three, as Michael said, is that you can win.
Yep.
Yeah, I present this to the three of you without comment. This is a tweet from Andre Drummond in August of 2011.
Okay.
One of my goals in life is to meet and play with or against at King James.
Wow.
There you go. But if he said against, though, right? He said against, too.
With
right?
or against.
With
well,
or against.
Well, he's been doing that, playing against him.
Yeah, so what's left?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Dan, let me ask you a separate question about how close the Lakers actually got to making a trade yesterday for Kyle Lowry. What's your sense of that?
I think close enough to where it was something that was, considered, but I think that, there was a big impasse, and it was one that nobody was willing to budge off of, and it was Talen Horton-Tucker. And I think it's a really interesting thing. I think it says a couple different things, Steve. I think it says, on one hand, right, like the Lakers have this are in this really weird situation where they have a supreme belief in the group they have, provided that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are both healthy, right? Like, I think they have to feel reasonably good about their chances to repeat if those two guys are on the court. I think, you know, along those same lines, if either of those guys are unable to be on the court, I think they know that Kyle Lowry wouldn't make a difference. You know, like that's not gonna propel you. That's not gonna cover up for either of their absences. So I think that was part of it. And then ultimately, too, this is a group that has no real draft capital moving forward. They don't really have a ton of young players, and they've got this one gem, Talen Horton Tucker, the guy that everybody else kind of around the league sort of wants. And so you can only trade that guy once. So if you're going to trade him, it better be for somebody that you're sure you're going to keep. And it's going to be for somebody that you're sure can help you. I think Kyle Lowry is awesome. And I'm not 100% sure I wouldn't have done it because of how good I think Kyle Lowry is. But I think the only way you can do it is if you're absolutely 100% sure that you're getting LeBron James, Anthony Davis back, and they're going to be back soon enough where you're not playing out of, like, say, like, you know, the play-in tournament. Like, you've got to feel really good about where you're at if you're going to make that bet.
We're talking to Dan Wakey from the LA Times. He covers the NBA for the paper. Dan, I've been saying for the past few days, as the Lakers have gone through this losing streak, that I'm not all that worried, even if they slide into the play-in tournament, because I think then they would just come out of it and make their run anyway. I think what you said is true. If they get their two guys healthy, I think they're the team to beat. Do you get a sense that they're worried about sliding into the play-in tournament? Do you think they care about that?
I mean, they should. I think they should. I don't think they've, like, kind of gotten there yet, to be honest, Sean. It is still a, in the parlance of Anthony Davis injury report updates, it is still a ways away, right? So I don't think they're thinking seeding yet. But I mean, look, I look at their situation and I still see a team that, I mean, they're going to have to start winning games. Tonight is a big game, and it's a big game because of what's coming up on the schedule, because of the road trip. That is not an easy road trip. Brooklyn's on there. I think Miami, right? If I'm not mistaken, there's some other pretty good teams that are coming up on the road. The schedule isn't impossible, but it's not easy. And, this is that weird kind of year too. Like, this team, I screwed up big time last night post game, guys, where I asked Frank Vogel an incredibly stupid question. And then the question was essentially like, is the lesson out of a game like tonight that, you know, the margin for error is so much smaller without LeBron James and Anthony Davis? The answer to that is obviously yes. But I think what I was trying to get at is like, there's a pressure involved with that, a focus that's required. And you've got to get lucky too, right? Like, Alex Caruso can't really roll an ankle in the next 2 weeks. Like, they need him. Like Kyle Kuzma can't miss four games with a shoulder strain. Like, they need him. And so it's going to be tough. I thought they played pretty well last night, guys, all things considered.
Yeah, they made a little run at the end. They sort of climbed back into it.
Yeah, even in the first half when they were down, I still felt like, it seemed like they had found a little something. Like, Schroeder was really aggressive. You can see that having Marc Gasol back mattered a little bit in terms of offensive rhythm. Montrezl Harrell wasn't playing, but you kind of always figure he's going to get his. Yeah. But then, like, you just look across the court, and even when Philly is sort of scuffling, like, it's like there's Ben Simmons, there's Tobias Harris, there's Seth Curry, there's all these guys who can score. And I just don't really feel that same way about the Clippers right now, about the Lakers right now, which is why I think it's so important that whether it's Dennis Schroeder kind of figuring this out, Kyle Kuzma, getting consistent offense, but it's got to be consistent, and I don't think they can reinvent themselves again. It's going to be really hard.
All right, so this is a question a lot of people are asking today. Where do you, Dan, stand on peeps? You know what peeps are?
Yeah, the disgusting things?
Yeah, the marshmallow little ducks that they sell for Easter. Yeah. Where do you stand on that?
I mean, I think they're just an abomination when it comes to a candy. First of all, they're sticky. They come in packages. They're, like, touching each other and stuff, which, like, in this pandemic, like, I want those things to be as far apart as possible. And I will say there is already a far superior Easter candy available. And yeah, it's a little more expensive. It's a little fancier. Maybe this is making me seem bougie. But the Reese's peanut butter egg is perfect. The Cadbury egg.
I agree with you. I agree with you. So here's the thing I wanted to let you know. Pepsi is releasing a Peeps flavored soda. It is a can.
That sounds horrible.
A can of soda filled with cola infused marshmallow flavor. Are you in on Peepsy?
How much? How much CBG is in there? Or CBD oil or something? It's gonna need to be a lot.
Do they have diet Peepsy?
I don't think they have diet Peepsy yet. Okay. This is like diet. This is just a case of diabetes waiting to happen.
What would be a diet Peepsy? It's just an insulin shot, like what's the counterbalance to, like, how do you diet up a Peepsy?
Yeah, it's true.
There cannot be a demand for this in the world.
I want a can of Peepsy.
Yeah, did somebody stoned Mason from your world come up with this idea in the middle of the night?
Somebody at Pepsi got rockin' stoned and decided, hey, Peepsy.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, I wanted to bounce that off you. Next time I see you, I'm going to save you a can of Peepsy.
Yes, Dan.
John, Peepsy is like a bad Bellorum tweet. That's what this is. This is
there
not a good
one. Yeah, like a pun tweet.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Be good.
Cool.
All right, Mates, I have some disturbing news. Do you want me to hold it or give it to you now?
Yeah, hold it. Disturbing news is what we call a great tease in the business. Disturbing news.
Michael, it will be very disturbing to you especially.
Oh, no.
It will bother you as much as it's bothering me.
Wow.
All right.
And by the way, I'm serious to the Pepsi people. I want to try a can of the Peepsy.
You're an idiot.
Wouldn't you want to try it?
No, God, no.
I
want to try it.
Why don't the two of you just pour rubbing alcohol down your throat?
I'll try anything once.
Hey, you're talking to the person who lives on a steady diet of candy like every day.
Yeah. Is that you?
Neither one of you need Peepsy.
I'm trying Peepsy.
I don't need it, but I want it.
What is a Peeps? What's the flavor? No.
What?
I've never had some. What are they?
They're those little yellow things that they put in Easter baskets that are basically all marshmallow.
They're like ducks or bunnies.
I've never tried one of those.
They're like the candy corn of Easter. Mm-hmm. They're the candy corn of Easter.
What do they taste like? Sugary?
Yeah. Oh,
they're marshmallows
so
covered in sugar.
That's the best way to explain it.
That's too
it's
much.
Literally all sugar.
How many of those
could
you eat?
Coming up next for you, disturbing news from John Ireland. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Out of my TV.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
T-Rex from Lindsay. She's got really good stuff. She recommends good documentaries. You've seen pretty much every documentary there is.
Yeah, looking for new ones. If anyone has any, tweet at me.
By the way,
did you watch The One on Netflix?
No,
TV show,
It's called The One.
Yeah, it's a new TV show on Netflix.
It's a show or it's a series?
It's a show. This is a false. It's not real. It's not a documentary. It's a series on Netflix. Remember, I told you they tell you they've supposedly come up with a DNA way to match you with the person you're genetically supposed to fall in love with. And all this stuff goes wrong after they figure that out.
Okay. Yeah, I will check that out. The One. I don't have a show going right now, John. Do you have a show going?
I do not, but I'm still disturbed by this breaking news.
Oh, yeah, the disturbing breaking news. I'm sorry. I totally derailed that. What is the disturbing breaking news?
Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right. Mark Stein, who we know and like and has been a guest on this show many times, he's the lead NBA writer for the New York Times, just tweeted, "The Celtics have emerged as a contender to watch in the race to sign Andre Drummond."
Nah, he ain't going there.
Wait, Michael, they need a center. They just
need
Daniel
a center.
So do the Nets, the Clippers, and the Lakers. They all could use Andre Drummond. But he signs with this team.
We
he starts
lose
tonight.
Him to the Celtics.
No, he ain't going there. They okay, let's put it this way. If he goes there, they ain't going to win the championship. They're not going
to
beat Brooklyn.
Right. I mean, if the idea is to go somewhere
to win.
To win,
right.
Boston is not the place.
Well, we know that, guys, but he needs to know that.
Okay, listen. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to talk to Danny Ainge, and let's say he's going to talk to Jason Tatum. Then he's going to get on the phone with LeBron, AD, and Rob Pelinka. Now, who do you think has more persuasion?
I like our chances.
Thank you.
I like our chances, too.
Now, he could get on the phone with KD and Kyrie and James, and they'll be persuasive, too. And those are the two decisions he'll have to make.
Hey, why isn't Lightyear's Lakeup getting in on this?
Because the Warriors ain't going anywhere with him.
Yeah, why would you jump in that for half a year
Michael
of Andre
will
Drummond?
Back me up on this. Lakeup wants in on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would like to see him talk to him, but no, he's not going to go there. If Andre's opted out, you opt out, you give up the money, $3 or $4 million, whatever it is, to win a ring this year, and then you get back into free agency and get your money in the summer.
Michael, another name just hit the buyout market.
Who?
Tell me if it's something or nothing. Somebody you would call just to kick the tires. Gorgui Dieng.
Nah, what Lakers don't need him. They got Montrezl Harrell.
Better. No, Gorgui Dieng.
Harrell's better than him.
Okay.
And no,
I think those two are teammates.
The one I did hear is Dave McMenamin suggested that Avery Bradley was going to get
that'd
buyout.
Be
a,
I'd like
that'd
that.
Be, yeah,
that'd
be
a nice cat.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be
I
a
love
really
Avery.
Nice
he's not – he hasn't been bought out yet.
Not yet.
No, not yet, but Dave McMenamin reported they're talking about buying him out.
Yeah.
That the Lakers would be a top contender for him.
No, the Lakers just put all their focus LeBron should put all his focus on his boy Andre. That's all that matters.
So.
Lakers get him, Ireland. What ring? What size ring do you wear?
It's over.
Stop it.
What do you mean stop it?
What?
Straight to the title.
There it is. It's back.
Oh, no.
If we get Drummond, and long as we have LeBron and Anthony Davis.
And then you add a monster like Drummond who grabs every rebound. Oh, my God. It is over.
Straight to the title.
Stop lying to the people. You've seen Brooklyn play. That would be a fight.
Oh, yeah, it would be. But the Lakers would be favorite.
Don't put the cart ahead of the horse.
It's back.
It's getting windy in here.
It's back.
Oh, no.
All right. So here's a question. Do you believe in cinnamon toast shrimp tail guy?
What?
Okay. Lisa was telling me about this yesterday, but I don't get it. Explain this story.
Okay. So there's a guy. He happens to be a stand-up comic who was eating cinnamon.
He's married to the girl who used to play Topanga on Boy Meets World, Danielle Fisher, who comes to the games with Jeannie and Linda all the time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she comes to a lot of Laker games.
Okay,
Danielle
Fischel,
not Fisher.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you.
So he is. He says, and he's a comedian. His name is Kenson Karp. That he found shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
Huh?
And he tweeted out a picture of it, and there are literally two shrimp tails mixed with all of the cereal things. He tweeted, why are there shrimp tails in my cereal? Oh. Now, this became a phenomenon. Everybody was talking about it. By the way, the company that makes them, I think it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Inc. I believe that's the name of the company.
Mills, maybe?
General Mills. There you go. I thought I had it. They've denied it. They've said it's not real, and this comic has sent it to them for analysis. And it's really gone from sensation on the internet to... oh, hell, that's just a wad of sugar. To,
what do you
oh,
think?
My God, he's married to the Boy Meets World girl. To, he's treated all of his girlfriends badly in the past.
Oh, no.
And now he's canceled.
Well, do you think the shrimp tails are real?
I think.
Oh. Yeah, that's weird.
I do not.
I'm with you. I don't either.
Huh.
You think it was a stunt by a comedian to draw attention to himself?
Yeah, here's what one of his exes tweeted. What you may not know about the man behind the viral posts is that he's manipulative, gaslighting narcissist.
Oh, boy.
It sounds like he's literally just making this up. And by the way, completely worked. Everybody has talked about the shrimp tails in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. It's great for Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Inc., the company that makes Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. By the way, is there a better cereal than Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Negative, there's not.
There's not. That's the best cereal. But I will look at it carefully the next time
Cheerios
I eat it.
Honey Nut Cheerios is the best cereal.
Look at Charles, Cheerios. Man. Where are you going?
Honey Nut Cheerios? What are you, 90?
Well, wait, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, why don't you just take sugar and pour it into a glass?
That's
and
the
drink
whole
it?
Idea.
Okay, guys,
breakfast.
Okay, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The thing about Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the milk afterwards. That's the key. Oh, that's the key. The milk.
The cinnamon
after you,
toast crunch.
Yeah,
exactly. Milk
but if it has
afterwards.
Shrimp tails in it, it messes up the milk.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think it's the finest cereal, and I think breakfast cereal. You want a charge. You but want
isn't,
sugar.
Isn't Honey Nut Cheerios just the LeBron of breakfast cereals?
No, it's
exactly.
not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not.
Don't overthink it, Mace.
Yeah. No. I'm.
And by the way, Jorge, Lucky
it.
Charms. My dad had a saying when he was alive. If you're eating Lucky Charms for breakfast, you'd be better off eating the box. All right? That's it.
Do you remember when we had your dad on the show, your late great dad, and I got him to say
Lucky Charms are magically delicious?
They're magically delicious.
Man, I wish we still had that drop.
And of course, he's your dad is Scottish, right? Was Scottish.
No, Irish.
Oh, he was Irish, yeah.
Don't you guys ever you just eat like fruit granola?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything?
It's granola? No, I'll eat granola.
As a cereal, it's great.
I'm going to go ahead and say that most adults probably don't eat, like, kids' sugar cereal regularly, but that makes it that much better when you do. Like, I have it, like, two times,
I don't
two,
eat enough
times
cereal.
Every couple
I haven't
months.
Had cereal all year.
Cereal is great.
What's your favorite cereal, Lindsay?
It's underrated.
What's your go-to cereal, Lindsay?
My favorite is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, followed by French Toast Crunch.
My favorite is also Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Nobody's in the Frosted Flakes.
Oh, Frosted Flakes are good. The Cocoa Rice Krispies, the chocolate one.
Oh, those are good. By the way, that leaves really delicious milk, too.
Does it? Cocoa Puffs? Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a good one. And John's eating, what are you eating? Cinnamon
Honey
Toast
Nut
Cheerios?
He's eating oat bran.
Yeah,
something.
Honey Nut Cheerios are great.
Chex Kicks.
The way you really know you're old is if you're eating grape nuts.
Oh, yeah, my
like,
mom
eats only
those.
Really old people eat grape
Didn't
nuts.
Didn't Yul Gibbons used to do the ads for grape nuts?
Raisin Bran is another one.
Yeah, that's another one.
If
yeah.
you eat if you're eating Raisin Bran, you know you're old.
And Raisin Bran sounds too healthy.
And Wilford Brimley, Good Oats.
Yeah, Good Oats. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And here we go. Let's have a great Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, it's going to be great because we're starting it off with donuts, your favorite thing in the world.
Oh,
please.
God.
Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme announced it would give out a free glazed donut to anyone with a COVID-19 vaccination card beginning on March 22nd.
Mace.
Yeah, there you go, Mace. And it was met with an almost immediate and unexpected backlash on the internet. Most criticisms of the donut chain's offer centered on the potential for a vaccinated person to get a free donut every day for the rest of the year or nearly 300 donuts. Many of these critics were doctors or people with large social media followings. Public health professor Dr. Lena Wen tweeted about Krispy Kreme's campaign, writing that a person who ate a donut every day without making other lifestyle changes could gain 15 pounds by the end of the year.
So what?
Do you have an issue Dr. with Krispy Lena. Kreme's COVID vaccine campaign?
Hell no.
No, right. You don't. Swipe right. You don't have to eat a donut if you don't want to.
Yeah,
it's a choice.
You can go as often as you want, and you don't have to go every day. So I don't see what the problem is. A free donut once in a while is awesome.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think we should do everything we can to incentivize people getting vaccines. Like, I hope other restaurants offer the same kind of thing. I'm getting my second shot tomorrow. I'm going to have that little vaccination card. I'm a little worried about getting. Apparently, there's one bad day after you get your second shot.
Really? Like, what happens?
Where you get like a minor version of it in bed.
My friend Glenn had three bad days.
My dad didn't. Both of my parents, they didn't. My mom got a little sleepy, and so she went to bed like an hour early. But my dad said he didn't have any side effects at all.
Yeah, my mom said the same thing, Mace. Nothing.
Yeah, my mom had nothing. Leo, her boyfriend, my not stepdad, actually was down for a day with it.
You're such a hypochondriac. You'll think you have something.
I'm not a hypochondriac. No, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not hypochondriac.
Well, wait a minute. Why didn't you work on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Laziness?
No, you said that you were nauseous.
Yeah. I was. I've had that nausea thing going on for a year.
But that's what Michael's referencing.
Yeah.
That you'll feel nauseous because you've had it going on for a year. You'll say, oh, it must be the vaccine.
Yeah, you'll talk yourself into being sick.
Yeah, I will not, mentally... Michael, and I promise you I will be here on Monday.
Really?
Yeah, because you're taking off the following week.
I promise you I will be here on Monday.
Jeez, another week off?
Man. Yeah, oh, yeah, got to get him in before the playoffs, man.
Johnny Carson used to text you about days off.
Yeah, no, got to get him in before the playoffs start. We got a big playoff season right into July. All right, Lindsay, what's next?
A new study proves that rich, false memories of autobiographical events can be planted in a person's memory and then reversed. The study highlights for the first time techniques that can correct false recollections without damaging true actual memories. And while this specific study addresses false memories, if you had the ability to remove one real memory from your brain, would you swipe left or swipe right?
Yeah, the Warriors lost.
That would be it. That would be the closest.
I would say 1984 Lakers losing to the Celtics in game 7 of a series where we were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
I would say 1985 when I was a pledge for Sigma Phi Epsilon. And that's why I earned my nickname Mashotsky. I did 8 shots of Jack Daniels, and it took me, talk about taking time to recover.
Were you the Bluto of the fraternity?
I was that night, that's for sure. But I'd love to blot out that memory. It was a terrible, terrible weekend that I had.
Has Lindsay ever seen Animal House?
Yeah, I've seen it. It was a long time ago, though.
Oh, okay. You don't sound too impressed.
I just don't remember it that much. Like, it didn't stick in my head that much. But so wait, with the memories, though, like Ireland, you're thinking, like, you guys want sporting events to be erased. The event itself doesn't get erased, so it still happened.
Yeah, but
you're just not
going to
remember.
It?
Yeah, you wouldn't remember what happened to you, like, when you were watching it or seeing it.
Right.
What do you want to erase, Lindsay? Some guy?
Yeah, I'd probably erase my ex-boyfriend.
What was wrong with him?
Everything.
He cheated on you. He cheated on you?
That's why he's my ex-boyfriend. Well, we met when we were 15, so, you know.
Did you know the girl he cheated
with? That right, concludes Michael's therapy session with Lindsay. What's next?
I'm trying to help
next
her.
Trying to help her
through it.
A digital house created as an NFT or a non-fungible token. You know, we've talked about these a little bit on the show.
Yes, we have.
It sold for more than $500,000 this week. The futuristic structure is a 3D digital model that doesn't actually exist in the real world, and it can only be experienced in virtual reality. NFTs have recently taken over the art collecting world. A digital artwork by the artist Beeple sold for $69.4 million by an auction house, and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey also sold a digital version of his first tweet that said, "Just setting up my Twitter," on Monday for more than $2.9 million.
Wow.
Do you think that you guys will ever invest in any type of NFT artwork?
No, because I don't understand it.
Well, I'm starting to understand it better. Like, I do understand Top Shots now, which is those are NFTs, right?
Yeah. Michael, do you understand those Top Shots, those virtual highlights that people are spending millions of dollars on?
No, I have no clue.
I guess what do I get? I mean, it's just like a regular trading card, but there's only a digital version of it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that makes sense. Like, they make 10 images of LeBron on a particular dunk.
And you're the only one who owns it.
And you're the, or they're, let's say there are 10 of them in the world.
Yeah, you own that card. So it's got, like, a number, and it comes, like, you can only access it on a certain website and stuff like that. So it's just like a baseball card. Like, yes, you may have that same exact photo of the guy on the baseball card, but you don't have the baseball card itself.
It's like, and you know why it's going to work, right, Michael?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the NBA and the NBAPA are the ones behind it.
Oh.
They will make sure that it works.
They need to pump some money into their infrastructure because their website is a complete headache.
I've tried to go in there and buy a pack of
yeah,
those,
and you didn't even
shots.
Know that you had to wait in line for them. So good luck when you get to that experience, because that's a
yeah.
blast.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
Lynn, you got something else?
So you guys don't think that you would ever invest in NFTs? I feel like it's something
I
where
wouldn't.
Like mine, I bought a pack. I bought my Top Shot. I bought, you know, one of the common packs. It was $4. And I sold one of my moments already for $200.
Who was it of?
It was a LeBron James assist from January.
Wow.
Nice. And you sold it for $200.
Yeah. My money just
sitting
in this account.
And you, how much did you pay for the pack? $4?
$4, yeah. And there's people that, like, if you get lucky, if you were to get into one of these drawings for the, or to be able to have the opportunity to purchase one of the rare packs, those are like $100 a pack, or some are even $200, but yep. you're guaranteed to get one rare moment. And some of these, like the LeBron highlight that I have, it's the cheapest LeBron highlight that's in the marketplace.
Who's got
the next
most,
one.
Who's got the most expensive highlight so far?
It's LeBron. I think it went for $2 million.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
What highlight was it of?
Let me look. I'll look just, and get back to you. But the
yeah,
cheapest,
we'll get back to him.
Yeah, the cheapest highlight of LeBron on Top Shot is one of the ones I had, and the next one is $800.
Wouldn't you think Jordan's and Kobe's highlights would be the most valuable?
They only have current players on there now.
Only current.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and that concludes NFT talk for today.
Oh,
Lindsay, do you have one more, or is that it?
I do have one more.
Okay.
So
I'm the
Haley,
guy that has to conclude the topics. Okay.
Okay. Hailey Bieber's whirlwind marriage to Justin Bieber shocked the world in 2018, mostly because of how insanely young the two were, she recently told Elle Magazine. The model and influencer said that while she was only 21 at the time that she tied the knot, she had lived enough life to know that it was the right decision for her. While there's no ideal age to marry, many therapists say that young marriages could be at emotional disadvantages compared to those who marry late in their 20s and early 30s. And also, I guess marrying young can mean making a lifelong vow before your brain is totally developed, which doesn't happen until you're 25. Do you think that people should generally wait until they're a little bit older, like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, to get married? Swipe left or swipe right.
Okay, so I went to probably 20 weddings in my 20s. That's when all my high school and college friends were getting married. Everybody that got married in their 20s, except for one, all got divorced.
Wow.
The people that waited until they were a little bit older, like what you're saying, Lindsay, late 20s, early 30s, those people are all still together. Michael, how old were you when you got married?
32, but I wish I would have been 22 because I wish I wanted to be younger when my boys grew up.
Right, but I got married at 35, and I'm really happy I did it that way because I think Lisa and I are going to be together forever, but all my friends who got married in their 20s are split up. Mace, what do you think?
Well, I'm George Clooney. I haven't gotten married and don't plan to get married.
You know, George Clooney was married when he was young, and he's married again now.
Yeah, but he went for a long time as, like, the bachelor guy. I'm the bachelor guy. 15 years together. I don't need to get married to prove anything.
You don't want
to do think you should wait. I don't think you really know who you are until you're 30.
I don't think
you really have figured yourself out
and who
you are and what your life is about and your goals and your aims and ambitions. You don't know until you're 30 years old. I think you should absolutely wait. And by the way, this will be controversial. I also think that you should have sex before marriage.
That's not controversial. That's normal.
Yeah, but
I think most people agree with that nowadays because, you know, you don't want to get stuck with somebody you're not.
Did you transport yourself back to 1830?
Well, no, I transported myself over to Michael Thompson, who I think would find this very offensive.
No, I don't find it offensive, but I think it's better if you waited for men and women.
No.
But I know that's not realistic, but it is better.
Yeah, don't you want to know if it's going to be good?
Well,
what if you're not intimately compatible with them?
Well, you would know that because before you go before you hit a home run, you'll be hitting a lot of doubles and triples.
Very well said, Michael.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
So, Michael, when you guys had AC Green on your team, were you guys giving him a hard time or were you encouraging?
Some guys would, snicker about it privately, but publicly, I mean, personally, face-to-face, I should say behind his back maybe, but face-to-face, no, we respected him. I respected him. And I respect anybody who feels that way. Why would you snicker and make fun of someone who wants to abstain?
Well, I wouldn't, but I just think some people
probably did. Make fun of it.
Mace would make fun of it. Lindsay would make fun of some woman or some
Mace
guy.
Mace makes fun of everything.
I would never make fun of them. I think that's fine. If
you think they were weird, right?
No, I think they're just missing out.
Well, eventually they'll get to it. They'll hit that grand slam, Mace.
Yeah, no, I mean,
not everybody's going to be Barry Bonds, you know.
Nothing wrong with an infield single, man.
So when it came to well, that's what I'm saying. That's infield single is like say a hug. A line drive single is a nice sloppy kiss.
Yeah.
Double, well, we don't need to start going any further.
You don't need to explain the basics.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Inside the park home run.
That concludes baseball talk with Michael Thompson.
You know, I'm trying to clean it up for sloppy people like you, Mace.
You did a very nice job.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, how close did the Lakers come to making a deal for Kyle Lowry yesterday? We've got some details on that. And don't forget, Game of Games is at 3:45 today. It is my game today. And we're getting towards the end of the month, which means that things are going to be determined. Every game is worth 2 points now, and we've got Lindsay with 8 and Ireland with 7. It is a battle. All right, if you've been noticing more new Mazdas on the road with license plate frames that say OC Mazda, where it's all about you, you are seeing a positive trend in the making. John Patterson, personal friend, great dude. He's got 2 dealerships in Orange County, Tustin Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda. They got their customers driving from all over the place to get their new Mazda. Many are using the showroom to go option online, where you can lease or purchase a new OC Mazda from the comfort of your own home. And here's some great news. You may not know this. A leading consumer magazine just awarded Mazda the best overall brand for 2021, better than BMW and Lexus and Mercedes-Benz or any other brand out there. To celebrate, OC Mazda is offering low lease specials like the new 2021 Mazda CX-5 SUV or a Mazda 3 Sedan S, your choice, for just $224 a month, or 0.9% financing for up to 60 months on every new 2021 Mazda model in stock. Twice the inventory, always going to be twice the selection. OC Mazda's won every customer appreciation award. Visit Tustin Mazda in the Tustin Auto Center, Huntington Beach Mazda on the Beach Boulevard of Cars. Check them out at ocmazda.com for details. OC Mazda, where it really is all about you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.